the question, why are these people, these wonderful people, sitting up here? And there's like a fifth person who's just over the edge, and actually he's on vacation, and that's Steve Dick. This is our UUCS transition team. The group of stalwarts meet with me monthly and serve as both a sort of a committee on ministry for those who of you who know what that is, to me as a minister in preliminary fellowship, and as a focal point for congregational movement towards our next settled minister. Of course, the search committee, I mean, thank you, search committee, they're doing it. But this group's task, as I think of it, is to soften the soil so your next minister lands in the type of tilled soil that allows for rapid settling and great root development. You know what I mean, gardeners. You don't go out on a day like today. You'd make mud clumps. You wait until the soil is at a certain place in its ripeness sometime along the way, and you dig it up, and you put in the good things that need to go there. These good folks are our designated gardeners for the year. Thank you all. So, this congregation is yours. I know it. Each of you that I've spoken to in any length of time has told me about the depth of your love for this congregation, the way you feel at home here, and about the profundity of your sense of place. Through good times and bad, honestly, mostly good times, you've been here for each other, and the door has always been open to others. You started back in 1993, breaking away from the Reston congregation. I want to tell you that story because I don't know that all of you know it in its entirety. You followed a music director who left the UU of Reston, and he was your music director for a few years. He was charismatic and doubtless had many strengths. But Reston had let him go because he also had some major weaknesses, and we don't need to go into those right now. As you may know, often when one church splits off from another, both churches face ongoing problems. Often the spin-off church fails to prosper. Maybe I'd even go so far as to say almost all of the time. But this story played out differently. This story played out in a way, frankly, no other split I know of has played out. This congregation, the nascent Sterling congregation, also figured out that that music director had some major weaknesses, and you two let him go. But you didn't stop there. You reached out to Reston, or maybe they reached out to you, and a mere 3 years after your separation, you openly reconciled with them. You named that there was no ongoing issue with them. They named the same about you. You named that the part of Loudoun County that you were in needed a UU congregation. This act of reconciliation is almost unheard of. And when I heard it, I wanted to be your interim minister. You forgave, you asked for forgiveness, and you moved on in the best of ways. In so doing, by reconciling, you showed yourselves filled with heart. Heart you have today in plenty. You offered and received public grace in doing these things. You showed incredible resourcefulness. I'll go into this more another time with the ways that you've hired ministers. Let's not forget the moves. All of those are kind of the public timeline of this congregation. But as Joan and Raj just said, there is a private timeline that each of you has experienced here. I shared this history for those who don't know it because we are going to get more personal and tender about your feelings of this, for this congregation. I'm new here, like some of you sitting in the room today. In some ways, we newcomers are like the folks sitting around the fire on a cold winter night, listening to the stories of those who have gone before. Attenders, new visitors, you and I are both here to share our insights about this place, new as you are, but also to soak in the love of place that I believe is in this room, right here in front of our ceremonial fire, the chalice lit this morning with the words, "Know your belovedness," like a memory calling out from the center of your being, connecting every little piece of everything to everyone and all of us. So for those of you who have some history with the congregation, the first thing I'm going to do is to ask you to put your name and the year you joined or began attending regularly. If you were a committed friend, not one of those joiners, we know about those. Please put these two things on the star sticky note that you should have. If you don't have a star sticky note, raise your hand, we'll get you one. We're looking for the year of your deepening commitment to this congregation. And our helper is going to pick up notes if you want her to, or you can go up if you need to stretch your own legs, you can go up and put them there. Safia, do you want to get the ones that people have and you can start running back and forth, and then the raised hand people are going to get a star. On the star, you are putting your name and your year of joining or near joining for those who are attenders who don't join things or don't yet join things. And if you're a visitor, you can sit this one out. Or a brand new person, you can sit this one out. Think we have some more stars to pick up? And if anybody wants to go be another helper, feel free. Thank you, Bruce. You can be a helper. That's great. We have fewer children in the right age range than I thought we would. So, great, great. Okay. We're going to be painting a kind of a demographic portrait of when people joined. Let me say this is going to be up here in the sanctuary for a couple of weeks. If you will have a couple of sticky notes there, if somebody says to you, "Oh, I didn't get a chance to put my date of joining up," invite them to do so, because that's helpful. Okay. And now as we settle back in, I'd like to ask you to go deeper. To think about something early on in your attendance here that touched you, that told you, "I am home here. This is a place I can get real, get support, share what is going on in my life beyond what people think of as the good news on a Christmas card." So I'm going to share a story of that type from my home congregation, and I'm hoping that that's going to spur you for your own reflections and sharing. As some of you may know, I was active in my home congregation for many years before I decided to become a minister. My husband was a member there for 20 years before I started to attend. I was going to a different church, and eventually we decided to raise our son there. I'd signed the membership book, and he had re-signed the membership book, which really touched me because he'd been a member for 20 years, but he wanted his name to be next to mine. That was all well and good. I liked that place, and it felt sort of comfortable. After I joined, my husband and I attended an auction item, you know, one of the social auction items like this church has as well. It was a dinner in the home of an older member couple. It was a Greek dinner, as I recall. The man was a NASA scientist and very tall, not somber, but really quiet. He always had a smile on his face. The wife and the couple was sprightly and a little, actually quite short, and a little round. I mean, I kind of always love her as a dumpling. She too always had a smile on her face. I learned later that he worked designing the moon landings that resulted in our space program collecting space rocks, moon rocks. He was so central to that mission that they let him bring his 5 sons to NASA to get a private viewing of the moon rocks. They got a private showing and even were allowed to touch those rocks. But the next day, when this older gentleman got back to work, he learned that one of the moon rocks was gone. Doubtless it had made its way into one of his boys' pockets. When he got home that night, he called his kids together and said a moon rock was missing and that no questions would be asked, but it would be returned. He was going for a walk, and the rock would be on the kitchen table waiting for him when he returned. Anyway, no questions asked, but the rock would be on the table. He returned, he returned the rock to NASA. And all I can say is he was that kind of guy. He blended professional excellence and the broad duties of a parent. A great guy. But on the day that I'm talking about, I think it was a few years into my time at that church, this couple stood up at Joys and Sorrows. He spoke into the mic and said that he'd been diagnosed with, what's its name, honey? She said it was Alzheimer's. And so he told us that he didn't want us to feel bad that he couldn't always remember names anymore. He told us that he didn't want to hurt our feelings when he just smiled at us. There was a silence in that room. Everyone was so tender towards that couple till he died a couple of years later. So tender and inclusive and welcoming as his explicit capacities diminished. That is when I knew. I knew that church was for me. A church where someone not only disclosed a diagnosis that many of us would shudder to tell, but where the framing was as it was in the sorrows on that sorrowful day. A place where both members of that couple knew that they would be loved and carried forward through the end of his life, no matter what that looked like. The story I just told was about finding my home through listening. And it could just as easily be, and it might be for some of you, that you found your home here when you listened to yourself, when you realized what you were ready to share in a covenant group or in a book club or at Joys and Sorrows. Maybe the listening has to do with listening with yourself. Either way, listening to our own hearts, listening to others, is the key to finding your home in a congregation. After that day, there was no more talk in my family about joining the church next door. Yes, I live next door to a UU congregation. But there was no going back. I had found my home church. If I were a congregant here, I'd have a number of instances that I might call to mind, even in my few short months with you. One of the central images for me would surely be that of one of our members playing the guitar as kids sang, and another member coached the kids on the recurring and somewhat complicated chorus for that song. I can see that when I close my eyes and put a smile on my face, that it just puts a smile on my face that isn't going away soon. So I'm wondering, before or after that membership book signing that you had, before you're getting on the member list, on the mailing list, I'm wondering, when you deepened your relationship with this congregation, was it with on an outing like the one gloriously depicted on the cover of our order of service? I don't know who those people are. It's a little bit grainy. I'd love to hear after the service. But was it an outing like that one where it looks to me like maybe a visit to the Supreme Court? When did you know this place was your spiritual home? What or who made you feel welcome? What sermon touched you so much you knew you had to stay here and make it your home? What memorial service, what covenant group, what social action project? We've heard from Joan and Raj. What about you? Krista Tippett is a great listener. At the Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly a few years ago, she said, "Listening is not primarily about being quiet. It is primarily about being present. It is powered by curiosity, and that is a virtue that we have can invite and nurture in ourselves and render it more instinctive. It involves a kind of chosen, self-imposed vulnerability." This is about listening, not talking. "A willingness to be surprised, to let go of assumptions and take on ambiguity. The listener wants to understand the humanity behind the words of the other and patiently summons their own best self in order to listen." So I'm going to ask you to do a deep listening exercise. Please think about summoning your best self as you start this. Please find someone you don't know so well in the congregation. Probably not the person you're sitting next to, but maybe, I don't know. I'm going to ask you to find a person and tell them about when you became a member in that deeper sense of the word, when you committed to this church in the deep way that you have. I'll ring our chime after 3 minutes. And the other person can also share for 3 minutes. Visitors, if you raise your hand, if you feel like you're so new, you don't have your own story quite yet, we've got people who are ready to talk with you, so we'll find you out. And just listen to what the other person in your pair says. Silence is always an option. Listening to silence together can be profound. So, find your person with whom you're going to share, and you can turn off my mic. Thank you, Adam. So now I'd like you to take your big sticky note. And maybe you have to stick two together. Maybe you need another one. People are kindly handing them out. And put the year of the thing you spoke about up at the top. And yes, not a star, not a heart. Okay. So what you're going to do with the bigger sticky note, and if you need to stick two together, that's okay, is put the year of the thing that you talked about at the top, and then write just a few words about what that thing was. Maybe it was you just want to say an announcement at Joys and Sorrows. Maybe you want to say that fabulous sermon on blah, blah, blah. Or my book group. Okay. Okay. So, anyway, you will figure out what to write. And thank you, Helper, for once again collecting notes and putting them up in their years. And if you want to put up your own notes, you may. We don't all have to rely on our helper, but we have her there very graciously to assist. You're putting your year of the thing you spoke about up at the top. Yes, the year of the thing you personally spoke about and a very brief summary of what that thing was that you spoke about. Okay, so as the notes are being put up on the wall, I'm going to say something that's going to sound a little radical when you know how strongly I believe in religious community. It is actually not the job of religious community to develop the connections that we are talking about, but rather the other things that we want to do in religious community can't be experienced without one another to lean on, to give us strength to do those other things. So I'm going to try to say that in another way. Religious community calls on us for spiritual growth, or for spiritual growth, social justice, helping save the world through helping save ourselves. But we can't do that without the community that we build together, without those deep connections and people to lean on. As the Reverend Dr. Mark Morrison Reed, who is one of our denomination's premier historians, says, the central task of religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. Build on those connections and bonds shown on this wall. The wall will be up for several weeks. We may be able to move it somewhere else if we have to move it out of here for Christmas. But look at it deeply. Build on those connections to move you forward as your mission in this church. Justice work, soul work, pastoral care, all of that and more. You are members of your own larger community. Together, your vision widens and your strength is renewed. Blessed be. Ashe and amen.